who knows what the markets are going to do, but with the volatility, a lot of the things that are going on just in a worldwide basis, supply chain issues, geopolitical issues, we had a lot of money printed. And so now we're feeling those repercussions. And but I did that comment you made that, yeah, we don't really get much warning, do we, in many ways? Like it just stopped with real estate. But at least on the residential side, but those building up cash, building up more and more liquidity, there could be some really good opportunities next year. And so I guess kind of a something for people to walk away with is it's okay to make 0% for a little bit. If you have a strong focus that you want to own real estate, you're looking at buying your first home or another home, there could be some really interesting opportunities.
You're listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green. Please stay tuned to the end of the episode to hear boring yet important disclosures. Thank you.
Hi, this is Ken Green, the host of the Engineer of Finance podcast, and I have an awesome guest. He's coming back on the show. This is a nice theme for the rest of this year. David Larson with DL Realty.
Thanks, Ken. Thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it. I always learn something from you.
Thank you. And I always enjoy our conversations when you and I go out for lunch. And so essentially, this is lunch without the food. And I'm sure I know the listeners really enjoyed you on the show. My goodness, time has flown. This world of COVID that's now appears to be over. I think the last time you were on the show was before COVID. It's been a while. It's been a while.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like it's been that long. And so anyway, who's might be new to the show or new to David Larson, he has been a great real estate mentor to me and guru. I always love picking his brain. I've known him for a long time now, at least 7-8 years, Dave, at least. And I think we first met in downtown Reno, just a side conversation introduction for my dad, who's worked with you for a long time in real estate. And anyway, so you've been a good friend, a great mentor. And David is the 1031 guru. Is that a great way to describe your expertise in real estate? Plus, you've bought and sold, and you've been heavily involved yourself investing in real estate. And I always like working with people who speak from experience, not theory. So is that a good way to describe you as the 1031
guru? I appreciate that. I've done a number of 1031s, and I do know the law. I've done it enough to know the pitfalls of it. And I see people emotionally attached to just not writing that check to the IRS sometimes. And they do some, what I think from the outside to be foolish things. You can't be controlled all the time by that. And anyway, I do a lot of 1031s and very familiar with them, reverse exchange, construction exchange, direct exchange, all the different nuances, all the tools of the 1031 and some other ones up my sleeve.
Oh, we might lead into that too. And it's interesting you brought up understanding the pitfalls of it. It can be very valuable, but it is deferring taxes, but it can be very advantageous on different financial strategies. And however, as you pointed out, emotion can kick in. Some people will allow that tax tail to wag the dog and they'll overpay because of timing issues they'd rather pay more to a private party and overpay for a structure or a building than just pay less in taxes to the government when emotion creeps in. Is that a fair way to say it?
Very succinct. I like that description.
So I have to say thank you. I think memory can be dangerous, but when our last time you're on the show, we went down talking about condos and I was saying, I'm not a fan of condos. And you you didn't challenge me, but you called me out. I said, yeah, that's because you like to have control, Ken. Now, I find it ironic me saying how I don't like condos this year with a lot of your help and a team we bought, and I haven't done the show yet talking about it, but I will soon. You motivated me to go get my own building, be the landlord and the tenant. And I did it through a business condo. So thank you. It's very interesting how that all came to fruition.
I think it's a great step for you owning things. One thing I appreciate about you, Ken, is we go out to lunch or here. You ask such good questions and the questions follow on a question and you get to know the subject. And I think I did that when you found out that you do like control, found out that I've seen you extremely frustrated being the tenant in more than one property, and it's a good fit. It's a good fit emotionally, and it's a good fit financially. I look at you, you're a young man, and over time, this will get paid off, and a great investment to own, and And I say, own for the rest of your life. If you move out, you've got rental income and you kind of blink and 10 years go by and you realize that long mortgage you took out is paid off and you're in a much better place. I'm so happy you bought that property.
You pushed me and pushed me over a year last summer, right? 2021. And I remember reaching out to the property owners at the time saying, hey, I just do not want to buy a building right now. I'd like to renew my lease. So you gave me all this advice. And every time I bring some type of real estate opportunity to you forever, which by the way, and when I say forever, for a long time, you're all, wait, it's too much money. Nope, don't do this investment. Nope, do this investment. And I always knew you had my best interest at heart because obviously that would have been good through commissions for what you do, but you're all, don't do it. And then you're telling me last year to do it. I should have ran and done it, but I just didn't. I was nervous about being a landlord, didn't want to pay that kind of money on a building. But it was a great way to finally get over the landlord-tenant relationship. And yes, there was a lack of control, unfortunately. I hate moving. And I was finally an opportunity I had to move. And boy, we'll have a few episodes on the SBA loan process. That was by far more challenging than I anticipated. At the same time, thank God we got it done and it all worked out. And it's a great story and enables me to help others through my experience now to help them through that pain process. And I swear I will never, ever complain about a house mortgage loan process ever again because SBA took it to a whole new level. And with that said, it was worth it. And so thank you for your encouragement to finally go do that. Boy, you were pushing and pushing me. And I remember you going one of the buildings that you meet me on a Saturday showing up in the bicycle shorts. So thank you. My wife appreciated that, my son. So that was fun, helping me on a Saturday go look at buildings while you're biking.
You said something very interesting back there, and you say the SBA loan was a challenge. I think a challenge, when you say the challenge, I think that's a very polite word. I use the, when you're dealing with government money, one word doesn't quite make it for me. And I use two words, and I call it brain damage. There is brain damage, and if you expect it to be a linear process that makes sense, you are going into this with the wrong mindset. Did that describe your experience?
The brain, I knew what I was in for, so I didn't get the brain damage, but it could be. I would say the experience was, it's helpful and it's going through the whole process and doing it a whole, when you're really involving a big bureaucracy and nonprofits, there's just a lot of moving parts and rules change. And so I'm grateful for being able to leverage other people's money. And so that's the beauty of the SBA loan process, is it's very comforting to these banks to lend money when they know how everything's secured. And also it's helped that if you go into any type of loan process, especially with SBA or home loans, but especially SBA, do not use logic for this. If they ask you to do something, you just do it. If you question the logic behind it, you will not move forward. And we've had that discussion. Just do it. Just do it. If they want a document, just do it. Right? Don't try to apply logic to this.
With a smile.
But I really appreciate your help and your mentorship. And I smile because over and over again, something I'm really interested in. Nope, that's too much money. Wait, don't do it. And then finally, over a year and a half ago, you're saying, do this. And boy, did I resist until literally a year was almost over. I'm told that, oh, we don't want to renew your lease and we just want to get an anchor tenant and nice landlords. But what poor communication for me, that really put us in a very awkward position. And we lucked out. We found something off market and it all happened and great owners and sellers of the property. But it really worked out. And so thank you for that help and that mentorship. And I'm going to have a few SBA loan episodes before the end of the year to talk about that process, because it's actually pretty exciting and pretty painful story, but it ended well. And so thank you.
Yeah, the terms of the SBA are wonderful. The process can be daunting though. When I look at investments and I do investment real estate and actually do it across the country. Opportunities we have here, but there's also different opportunities across the country that may fit different people more. But in an investment that you buy and then you are the tenant as a business, to me is just the best. If you can't get along with your tenant in that case, you've got a challenge. But that to me, if you're the tenant and you're the owner, obviously two different entities. You can't get a better real estate investment than that.
I can tell you automation through all the different banks has made the tenant-landlord relationship really nice. It's made it really nice. Getting anything set up, because remembering to pay yourself as a landlord, that can be challenging for a lot of people, just the psychology behind it. Even though you ideally you create separate structures, you set these things up, but then you have to treat it literally it's another entity and it's not you, it's another entity, and each entity has to comply with the contractual agreements. And to keep everything easy, boy, do I love the banking system and the fact of via their automation, having them set up so that the checks go out automatically, bills get paid automatically. It's a very nice process. And then, as you know, over time with the leverage of money and us being able to lock in, I would argue, a very good low interest rate for a long time now, with inflation being over 8%. And I pray that's a way different discussion we have the next time you're on the show. I hope it gets down below 3 soon. What a great way to take advantage of the spread and then getting equity over time. Now, real estate wise, investments and what's going on, I thought it'd be great to have you come back on the show, because you have a unique lens and perspective of what's going on the resident side, the business side, and you have a lot of experience, not just here in the Nevada side on the West, but you've got your tentacles everywhere across the East, the U.S., not just the East Coast, but West Coast to East Coast. So what are you seeing occurring with this inverse relationship? Money has gotten very expensive recently, right? So 30-year fixed mortgages are over 7% now. And where just a blink of an eye a year ago, they were 3.5 and less. So what are you seeing happening here at a local level in the Reno Tahoe area? And what are you seeing with real estate across the U.S.?
Let's stick with Reno Tahoe right now. The market's fascinating to me. If we look at graphs of what's happened in the residential market, the amount of inventory is up, not dramatically, but it's up. The total dollar volume of sales has fallen off the cliff. That graph looks like a nice ski hill right now. It's not too attractive. I think that's going to continue. I think this is not 08 where people didn't have equity in their houses. I see that. I don't see jobs being backing up or get the massive layoffs that we had in 08. So I see a downturn in real estate values locally on the residential side, and I think that's going to continue. I think this is going to go out maybe a year, maybe two. I don't think the downturn is going to be as great as, again, we saw in 2008, maybe 20% or so. And that's going to hurt some people. I think, obviously, it's harder to qualify for a residential loan, so the total dollar volume of sales is going to go down. Interestingly enough, though, if we look at, I'm going to say, industrial real estate, it's going through the roof here. No, a number of reasons. If you look at this and you're a company and you have a manufacturing facility in China, are you comfortable? I'm going to say that people aren't. No. And so we're seeing an influx of companies looking to do manufacturing in Northern, one just bright spot in Northern Nevada. Let's say you're a big company, you need 1 million square feet of building. If you were to build that in California, it's going to take you 6 or 7 years. If you build that building here, it's in Story County, just east of us, you can have that building done in less than a year. And if you look at a modern manufacturing or warehouse building, they really work to cut down on labor. And if we look at a P&L of a manufacturing or a warehousing, labor is probably the number one item on their expenses. So if a building can bring that down 40%, a building here costs nothing. So our vacancy rate in industrial is really close to zero. There's some spec buildings going up. There's some buildings going up like 300,000 square feet that they have 900,000 square feet. Feet of people bidding on it. We have bright spots and we have dark spots. I think for the small investor, sit tight for a little while on cash, and I think there'll be some opportunities here in the next year.
When you're talking about small investors, you're talking about some nice potential coming in as a landlord, like single family residence opportunities, as there's this downward potential, there's this strong pressure because interest rates have gotten so strong to push down the pricing of the real estate. And is that what you mean for the small investor? There could be some nice opportunities, have liquidity, this is where I always argue, just having money liquid, just sitting there, I don't even care if it's making 0%. Very interesting opportunities. Opportunities will seek you out. And this could be an opportunity within the next year or so because of real estate being pushed down. Who wants to get a loan at 7%? Though, if you look back historically, it's still, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. You've been, I am sure you've bought a house in the early 80s. And I'm sure you'd be pretty happy to get a 7% interest rate back then.
Ecstatic. Not happy, ecstatic. And also, we've become less creative in buying properties over the years. And I think if you put a little creativity in there, for instance, using the vehicle of a lease option, you're the person who's disposing of the property is going to have an older loan with a lower interest rate. You can pay him on terms that are attractive for him, and they'd be attractive for you as a buyer. And then convert it. I think interest rates are going to go down, although I've been wrong on things before, over a few years, and refinance it 5 years down the road. But I think lease options and some other tools are going to come into play here where we can take advantage of existing financing on a property.
When you talk about taking advantage of existing financing, you're talking like assuming the note? Or how what would that look like?
Assuming the note, it looks like a dinosaur, okay? It used to be that you could assume certain loans. Most of those loans have pretty much matured. It used to be an FHA loan you could just walk into pretty much. The loans in the last 20 years, assumability is not there. However, you can work around that with a lease option. I know we talked a little bit about subject, taking a property subject to. There's pitfalls to that, and I'm not going to get into them on this because I don't want to. Anyway,
because you don't want to get in trouble.
That's correct. That's a different conversation. But a lease option is a pretty clean method and very flexible. You just can make it a win-win, but you need to know the situation of the seller and obviously your own situation.
Now, what other topics would you like to discuss in the real estate just recently or anything that's been real fascinating or interesting to you? Obviously, it's all over the news with interest rates going up on mortgages, the pressure on real estate. We're experiencing it. And I was talking to clients several months ago and like in Southern Nevada hit first, right? Las Vegas, it just stopped, right? It went from the seller's market to just stop being a seller's market, right? And sales have really have slowed down substantially. But yeah, I was just curious to your point, and I got to be very careful. I have no idea what the market real estate wise is going to do tomorrow. It is different than the 06, 07, 08, 09 phenomenon. It's very different. I think developers have been very careful on building. They're very measured on the inventory they're putting out there in the Reno, Tahoe area. And I would argue probably down in the Las Vegas area as well, where back then it was just pedal to metal, building as much inventory as possible, and all of a sudden there's no one to fill the structures. But I was just curious, anything that you find interesting or something we haven't addressed yet in today's show, going in, ending 2022, going into 2020, that you wanted to bring up?
One thing, the markets normally shift relatively fast. Every time that I've gone through a market shift, it's happened fast. If we look at development of property, I can almost say nothing happens fast. If we start to build an apartment building, it's going to be 3 to 4 years from our first efforts moving forward to when it's finally finished. There's a number of properties in the pipeline. And if you look at construction loans are recast all the time, so their interest rates going up, I think there's going to be pain in the newer houses. And I don't see as much pain in apartments because, although there's going to be some, because their construction loans are going to be more expensive, but the vacancy rate is, and the time to occupy is relatively short. So there, I think the cash flow for apartments is going to be okay, but I think the newer homes, we're going to start to see some real good price drops in them. And I think, again, if you want to buy a new home and you've got cash, maybe today isn't the right time, but by March, I think there's going to be some pain there. When you mention Las Vegas, I find if you look long-term in from Vegas, and we look at Lake Mead dropping and dropping, I think we may see some water refugees. They've got some challenges there. They really haven't addressed it other than they will limit lawns. All right. Yeah, that'll help. But I haven't seen Lake Mead rising. And I think the southern Nevada is completely different than what's happening here in the north. We're much more insulated. We have, I think, a much better future looking 10, 20 years down the road.
Yeah. And I don't know if I complete my thought about Vegas, but in the conversation, they were a few months ahead of things stopping. And then it finally got it toward. And then, of course, like Southern California and areas were way ahead of it. So it seemed prices, sales stopping and slowing down. But and it's interesting you bring up the Lake Mead, see how that plays out enough. Just when I was doing a lot of engineering work, getting to see the treatment plants down there. Vegas is that they're phenomenal at recapture. They are very efficient. They actually use very little water from Lake Mead. Most of it goes to the neighbors, Arizona, LA, and they recapture, I believe, and I could be careful, again, it's memory, but it's over 90% of their water. It's pretty amazing. And so I always joke it. In a way, if you look at the intake systems and how the water is then released back into Lake Mead, the filtration, the amount of effort they go into it, they really do a great job at recapturing a lot of the sewer, the storm water, back into Mead, cleaning it up, recycling, and then drinking it again. But yeah, I guess that's it. I always love picking your brain, and there's always a series of questions, but that come to me that I want to go down this rabbit trail. But I do, regards to next year, I do think there's going to be some really interesting opportunities. It's interesting that you used the word pain, because I've talked about that earlier this year, that who knows what the markets are going to do, but with the volatility, a lot of the things that are going on, just in a worldwide basis, supply chain issues, geopolitical issues. We had a lot of money printed, and so now we're feeling those repercussions. But I did that comment you made that, yeah, we don't really get much warning, do we, in many ways? Like, it just stopped with real estate. But at least on the residential side, but those building up cash, building up more and more liquidity, there could be some really good opportunities next year. And so I guess kind of something for people to walk away with, is it's okay to make 0% for a little bit. If you have a strong focus that you want to own real estate, you're looking to buy in your first home or another home, there could be some really interesting opportunities. And is that kind of your assessment? Like soon?
I think you summed it up very well there. Being liquid right now, I think, is paramount. I couldn't agree with you more. And I think we're going to see some opportunities for people out there that don't have a home. It's fascinating to me to look at the net worth of people who own a home and the net worth of people who don't own a home. It is so dramatically different, and it can be a struggle getting there, but there's some tools that may get you there. You may have to work and find the right situation, the right seller. But if you're on that end of this spectrum and you're looking to buy your first home, just do it. Study. There's always a way. And it may not be walking into your banker and saying, hey, give me a loan. There's more than one way to skin a cat.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that part right there. I've seen you do very creative solutions with investments, right, when buying real estate. And so there's a lot of different creative ways that you can fund these things. And it all begins with the buyer-seller relationship and discussions, and creating more value for each other. And it doesn't have to be in a conventional way. Some really creative things can be done, and I'm a little bit of exaggeration, but almost contracts on a napkin in many ways. It doesn't have to be that many pages. It doesn't have to go through the typical 30-year fixed mortgage process or 15-year where it's with these backed securities. Is that a fair way to talk about how creative you can be?
Yeah, that's a fair way to explain it. The challenge is you have to find a situation that fits your skill sets, fits your financial needs, and works for a seller. A lot of times a seller will not need cash. They'll want cash flow. A lot of times a seller won't be able to fix the property up. You may be able to. You need to assess what are your skills, what's your personality, and find that deal or that seller that fits you. Can be a lot of work. I found some win-win situations early in my career that I look back on, and I had to beat a lot of bushes to get them, but were just diamonds for me. And the seller would give me Christmas cards and thank me every year that I took the property off their hands. And I'm proud of those. You create a win-win. And that's not, and you have to work at it. It's not, you're not going to open up the paper and find it. You've got to beat the bush.
Mr. Larson, thank you for coming on the show. I'm so glad you're a repeat guest. Best way to reach out to?
The best way to reach out to me is to call Ken. In doing real estate, Ken's going to want to know everything about you so he can do the best job. It's not one size fits all in investing. It's not one size fits all in real estate. I would rather sit down with the client and with you so I get to know their situation, see if I can help them or not. Again, when people ask me, is this a good deal in real estate, I basically shut up because I don't know enough. And you delve in questions and you get to know your clients, and I want to do that too. So the best way to get a hold of me is to give Ken a call, and we'll set up an appointment and make something fit.
All right. I will be your filter, Mr. Larson.
I appreciate it, Ken.
I have a good idea who your ideal clients are and the people you like to be surrounded with. And thank you so much for coming on the show. It's always a treat having these conversations, and I look forward to our next conversation over lunch. And I'm going to rally the whole crew around this SBA process. So it's time to have that discussion, get them on the show and talk about what was involved with that process, what went really well. It's kind of like a project closeout. I'll have fun. Hopefully they enjoy my humor. We'll talk about what went well, what I didn't think went well, but it all ended well. But thank you for coming on. I look forward to our next discussion. And everyone listening to the show, thank you for supporting and listening to the Engineer Finance Podcast. And I look forward to next week's episode.
Thanks, Ken. Bye.
This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be considered investment advice. The content is intended for United States audiences only. Opinions expressed are as of the date of this publication, and such opinions are subject to change. Green Financial and Insurance Services Limited, Green, is not responsible for any trading decisions, damages, or other claimed losses resulting from or related to the content presented. Green makes no representation as to the completeness or accuracy of the information presented. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Forecasts are not a reliable indicator of future results. Investors should be aware of the risks associated with investing. All investments are subject to investment risk, including possible loss of capital. Investors should seriously consider if an investment is suitable for them by referencing their own financial position, investment objectives, and risk profile. Consult with a qualified financial advisor as necessary before making any investment decisions. Thank you for listening to the Engineer of Finance Podcast with Ken Green.